Amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How you doing? That's pretty sad. Good morning. God is good, isn't he? Yeah, you are thankful to be alive, aren't you? Yeah. You might well wake on up and worship God this morning because he is good. If you are visiting with us, you are an honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. We are so happy to have visitors with us. If you don't mind, would you stand so we can show you some Houston, Texas, Fifth Ward Church of Christ hospitality this morning? If you're sitting next to our visitors, shake their hands and make them feel welcome. Then show some love to your neighbor and give a smile. Some of you look like you need a smile this morning. Don't move too far. Not too far. Good to see you, bro. All right. Amen. As you're standing, Brother Kamuch, show the slides of our graduates. That feels better. On the screen, you're going to see pictures of the graduates that's either members here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ or family members or members at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I hope we have all of them. They're listed in your bulletin. We are so blessed here that we have, I know, five advanced individuals that have advanced degrees you're looking at right now. Some of them, their family members are here. Some of their family members are here. We have 13, I believe, college graduates. And 21 high school graduates. Amen. And so we can say praise the Lord. Amen. And so you're looking at some of the pictures, and today, right after our worship service, we are going to dinner with the graduates and their families at Dave and Buster's, and we're going to go and eat a fellowship meal and give them another little treat. This is our way of just saying we love you, thank you for your commitment, for your sacrifice. I don't know if probably all of them are not here, but if you are a graduate, you're here right now, would you just stand just for a moment? We see these pictures, but it's good to see live faces. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo-wee. What a blessing. Thank you so much. And we won't ask the family members to stand, but we know that you graduated with them, and we know that they would not have graduated without you, and we are so proud, and just thankful that that you are associated with the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and just happy for you. I want to dive right into my lesson. As you know, we also started Vacation Bible School. Today, this is the day the Lord has made. It's the Lord's day. Amen. And we're here to worship God. Vacation Bible School starts today through Thursday night, actually. The theme for Vacation Bible School that was selected is what? Are you ready? So the title of my lesson today is Are You Ready? It's a lesson that not just for the graduates, but for all of us. And I believe that all of us have a part. I try not to encroach on some of the lesson topics that the brothers will, and Bible classes for all ages. Amen. and the teachers are going to be teaching on. But I like the theme because it's a call to action. It's a call to observation, to observe our lives. And there are many topics that I think that can be addressed by the beginning phrase, are you ready? And I actually had 3 points that I wanted to give, but this morning at the 8 o'clock service, I was only able to give one. And so I may just give one so we can get out on time. You probably happy I said that, aren't you? But I may just give one and sit down. The first one is, are you ready to work? Amen. And I know that sounds a little strange because, especially to our graduates, you have worked so hard to get where you are right now. But I want to address, I want to address what I believe is a misrepresentation. I could say my opinion, but my opinion don't really count. But I believe if we study the Word of God, there has been a grave misrepresentation of the Scriptures, and misleading many people. And some of the quotes you may recall, I'll give some of the quotes. One is, no amount of works will help us to get to heaven. Amen. Another quote is, we can't work our way to heaven. Another quote is, faith and grace alone are all we need. Now, listen now. You got to pay a close attention, because while these statements bear truth, they require understanding. And they require explanation for us to truly understand what I believe the Bible teaches us. Because there is a proof text that many use in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and I believe with all of my heart in what the Bible says. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And I believe that with all of my heart, that none of us will make it to heaven without the grace of God. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I believe I need a whole lot of grace. But please don't misunderstand this passage. We're saved by faith through Jesus Christ. Amen. And for the alien sinner, for the person who has not been baptized into Jesus Christ, for the alien sinner that stands outside of Christ, there is no amount of work. We can't do enough good to say that we deserve heaven. Because even when we do enough good, it still is not enough, because we're not that good. And you know, we got things. Some people see us and think we've done some good, and they haven't seen all of us. Because God knows all of our secrets, and we all have some secret things that most of us don't want nobody to know about. Amen. The sweetest sister in here right now, the kindest woman, the kindest man in here right now, don't want you to know everything about them. But God knows about all of us. And so in that light, none of us can't work our way. We just don't deserve enough. None of us are perfect. And one person, only one, who lived the perfect life, amen, was able to do a deed that saved all of us. Amen. Let's listen to Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Titus 3, 4. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared. That's the grace. It was grace that God sent his son to die for our sins. Listen, he says, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus 2, chapter 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. So in that sense, God has given every person who has ever lived, every person that's on this earth, the opportunity to be saved. How did he do it? By sending his son when we didn't deserve it. And God is not prejudiced, black, white, brown, Spanish, whatever color, whatever nation, everybody has the opportunity to be saved. Is that grace or what? You know that's grace. Because none of us, most of us, our mind says, if we were God, we would save certain people wouldn't get a chance. Some of it is because of things they've done to us. Some of it we don't even know about. Some of it we just don't like people. But although all of us have sinned and done something worthy of death, God said everybody can be saved. That's grace. Yes, and that is grace. That is grace. But to imply, especially to the baptized believer, that we should not prioritize work, or that we cannot fall out of favor with God, is contrary to clear biblical teaching. And a popular doctrine right now is that we can't work our way. There's nothing that we can do, and we're saved by faith in God and faith alone. Amen. Listen, listen now, listen now. Even faith itself, and that's why some de-emphasize the importance of baptism, because they say baptism is a work, and baptism, there's no work that can save us. But they haven't been studying their Bible, because Jesus himself said that faith is a work. Amen. Listen to John chapter 6 and verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, is that what it says in your Bible? Jesus, and you know what? I'm going to listen to Jesus before I listen to anybody else. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. What's the word, Brother Gary? That you believe in him. That your faith is a work. Because we have to consciously, can't nobody have faith for you. Amen. You have to consciously put it in your mind that you're going to believe that God sent his son to this world to die for our sin. That is a work. So if works don't save us, even our faith is a work. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And some would say that we work, Brother Gary, because we already saved. And that's popular. And you know what? I believe that. I believe that because I'm saved, I need to work for the Lord. Amen. But they say the works don't save you. But while that may be true, and I agree with you, we also work in order to stay saved. Amen. There are two numerous scriptures that I believe that attest to this when we read the Bible. And graduates, I have something to say to you, and I know you've worked hard, and I know you've done some wonderful things, but I hope you think you're not through yet. I hope you don't think you are finished being what God would have you to be, and I know that you don't even think that. Listen to the book of Philippians that was read in your hearings a few moments ago, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. The Bible says this, so then, my beloved, and this is written to Christians, just as you've always obeyed. So this doctrine of once you save, you done made it. If you're a true believer, once you save, you're not gonna lose. You can't lose favor with God. That's not according to the scripture. He says, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation. The scripture says, with fear and with trembling. Some of us somehow, nobody maybe not in here, but somehow sometimes we've been a Christian so long, we somehow think we have some kind of seniority. Not so. Not so. I don't care how long you've been in the church, you better keep on working out your salvation. Amen. And you know what? The devil don't take off no day. As a matter of fact, you better be careful when you think you got seniority, because the devil got you just where he wants you. And not only, he says, do it, work it out with fear. You know, and sometimes you can be in a lost church. And you know, some of you that's married, been married 15, 20 years, you be careful. Yeah, you say, boy, okay, yeah, my husband, we got it together. My wife gonna treat me right, my husband gonna treat you. You better not take each other for granted. You better keep doing just what you've been doing to keep them. Amen, somebody. Sisters, don't neglect your husband. Husbands, don't take for granted your wife. Because just like you still love her, somebody else can put their eye on her, and you get cross-eyed one day. Amen, somebody. Keep working at it. Don't take each other for granted. Work at it. Work at it. He says, with fear. And, you know, one thing I try to stay on, because every now and then something just surprises us, doesn't it? Right. And you say, well, I can't believe that so-and-so believe it. Amen, somebody. Amen. You know, we don't know what goes on when we leave this place. At work, in our houses, you see something on the news, you say, no, I can't believe. Yeah, it, not only can it happen to them, it can happen to us. Yes, yes, yes. It can happen to any one of us, because the devil does not take. He says, with fear, work out with fear and trembling, knowing that we all can fall. Amen. Oh, have mercy. So we don't need to take a day off. No, we don't need to take a day off. He says this in 1 Timothy. Look at I wish I had time to read all these. 1 Timothy 4:10. For it is for you
For it is for this we labor. We're talking to Christians. We labor and strive because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of God is the Savior of the whole world. But saints, Christians, you better keep laboring. You better keep striving if you want to make heaven. Yeah, if we want to make heaven our home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I know I'm the preacher, but I love coming to church. And it's not all about just necessarily coming to church. I need to be around some folk who trying to go where I'm trying to go. Amen, somebody. I know. Listen, I'm telling you, I thank the Lord that I had the kind of upbringing. I had strict parents. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, they had me on lockdown for a long time. But I was able to go to college and experience college. Yeah, you high school students is getting ready to go to college. Boy, look, I hope that's the best time of your life. Because college is, I guess I shouldn't smile too much, huh? Because, see, you thinking of partying and you thinking of just getting away. Ooh, boogie, I can't wait to get away from my daddy or your mother. You're going to be wishing for your mama and your daddy soon. But what I'm saying, when you get adjusted to college, it's a good life. It really is. See, you know, yeah, it's strict, but I was the same way. But I got to experience some things. I got to see. I had enough rope that I got to see that it ain't what it was. See, listen, being in college, you better stay focused. Amen. Do you realize how many freshmen in college end up back home? Because they either got too buck wild. Can I say the word buck wild? What do you mean, Brother Garrett? They got beside. They forgot everything that they learned, hanging out with everybody, missing classes every week. And they looked up and tried to get serious the last 2 weeks of the semester and flunked out. And they end up right back home. What are you saying? Listen. But I got to see that God's principles, I got to see that right and wrong is what counts. It's what lasts. It's really what makes your life sustainable and better. And you're going to have some troubles. You're going to have some trials. But don't you forget the foundation that has been laid for you. Because you'll be in school with many who want that foundation. Who want that discipline. Yeah, and it takes some. So strive to do what's right. Strive to fight the wiles, the influences of the devil. And keep doing what's right. And it takes some labor to do that. It does. It takes some discipline to do that. And I thank the Lord that I had enough in me. I had enough teaching. I had enough people that I remember who were, Gary, you know better. And I remember that. And I said, you know what? Boy, this ain't, I better act right. And I better do what's right. And I thank the Lord every day. Yes, we make some mistakes, but it does take some work. Listen to the Bible. I have some more points to make. James chapter 2, verse 14. Especially to the saints, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Listen, can that faith save him? What are you saying? See, because there are many who would say, who want to lean on the excuse that, you know, I believe that in Jesus Christ. I believe that God died, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe that. But we want to give God as little as we can. We're trying to get by doing as less as we can. He said, can that faith, and in this particular instance, if you read it in context, he says, if a brother come to you that's naked or that has no clothing, and you say, be warm or be filled, what use is that? That has no use at all, although you say you have faith. In James chapter 2, verse 20, are you willing to recognize, he says some strong words, you foolish fellow? That faith without works is useless. We got too much. We got too many people right now who talk religion, who talk God. Yeah, I believe in God. I'm a believer, but you can't tell it by what they are doing. He said, this is useless. Listen to James chapter 2, verse 24. You see that a man is justified or is made righteous by works and not by faith alone. Yes, we must have faith. Yes, we must believe. But we got to follow that faith up with some works to justify our beliefs. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. I have so many passages that I could read, but I want to nail this down because, see, it's a dangerous doctrine to teach somebody that listen, all you got to do is believe. You believe with all your heart. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Yes, God does know our hearts, but our actions better say something. He says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, that's consistent, that's sound, immovable, not as a reef in the wind. Always, the scripture says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He's talking to Christians. Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. God sees what we're doing. Yeah, he says, always, we always, that's why, see, listen, I know we got a lot going on. I know I'm a Christian. Are you full-time or are you part-time? Yeah. And see, this is not, no, you've heard me say, this is not all about coming to church. Because every week has a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday. I mean, what are we doing on these days? And he says, always abound in the work. And the work of the Lord is not working around the Lord's table all the time. Although that is a service that the brothers give. The work of the Lord is not necessarily leading singing. The work of the Lord is not necessarily preaching. The work of the Lord, is being kind to your neighbors. Amen. Amen. The work of the Lord is being a light on your job. Amen, somebody. Because one of the goals that we set this year was that every member of this church, and we're not trying to put people on the spot or trying to put people on a guilt trip at all. Are we trying to get to heaven or what? We're trying to get to heaven. I'm telling you, I'm 59, and playtime is over for me because according to the statistics, I got less time. Amen, somebody? Amen. Oh, Brooke, you're a young man that don't feel like it. We're trying to get to heaven. So we're trying to encourage one another. One of the goals that we set was every member being involved in at least one. We're not just setting these goals just to say we set a goal for each other. We're trying to get to heaven. We're trying to encourage one another. We know in a church our size, we know that we have leaders. There's only so much that everybody can do. Everybody can't be the song leader. Everybody can't work around the table, although we need some more brothers to work around the table, don't we? Some of you say, oh, it's the same brother. Well, you're the same brother. They always work around the table. We need some more. You notice how on at 11:15 worship service, sometimes I'll be standing back there. I'm looking at my clock. What time we supposed to start? 11:15. We've been doing pretty good, but a lot of times it's like 11:17. I look at my clock, it's 11:20. You know why that happened? Because there's not enough brothers back there. That's why. So all same brothers. No, not same brothers. Not enough brothers. Right. So that. So you say, Brooke, that ain't nothing. That's a work. Amen. Because they have to come to training class. Isn't that right? Yes. See, and it takes our time. You mean, Brooke, it's gonna take my precious time? Yes. Amen. Hey. But we're saying that's just one way. But not anything public. See, a work can be. You can take. God sees and knows. Where's my bulletin? You can take a bulletin. You're in the Lord's church. See, a work has to do with other folks. It's serving. As each man has been given a gift by God, God says, employ it in ministry one to another. And see, work is service. Service could be you at your home and you take one of these bulletins. You see all these folk on the sick list and you see they have addresses in there. You say, well, I haven't been in the church that long. I don't know these people. That don't matter. Amen. Who in here know everybody in here? Nobody. Nobody knows everybody. Special church outside, we don't know everybody. When people die in our funeral, send a card. They have phone numbers in here. Call the phone. I don't believe in calling folks. Oh, come on, get off of that. Call somebody on the phone. If they don't even answer the phone, leave them. This is Gary, and I haven't been a member of Fifth Ward that long, but I was just calling to I see your name in the bulletin. I prayed a prayer for you today.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we might not put your name in the bulletin, but I promise you God sees.
Amen.
And knows what we do. We're trying to work. We're trying to do the Lord's work so God will get glory. We get blessings.
Amen.
And people are blessed. And Paul says, and to know that your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God sees and knows everything that we are doing. And I want to first of all commend our graduates. I want to commend you. Because you've accomplished, I don't care, high school. Now, I'm not going to go down to the kindergartners this time. But that is an accomplishment, amen. It is, I'm telling them. And some of you at those kindergarten graduates, you be like, yeah, baby, that's my baby. And you keep encouraging them, because that's how they keep doing it. But those of you that's graduated from high school, boy, look, do you realize how many kids don't graduate from high school? And you, look, you know what track they're on. You know what track, if a boy or a young lady does not graduate from high school, statistics show that they are on a track, a hard track. I'm not going to even go any further than that. And I say that because some of us in here, Grunsome Grow, we can testify. And help somebody. It's not to say that everybody has to go to college, but I tell you what, you got to be doing something positive with your time.
Amen.
And if you graduated from high school, you'd be commended.
Right.
You know, you know, because one, you major. See, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The Bible says for us to honor our father. And your mama or your dad is anybody who's taking care of you. Who's helping you? It doesn't have to be necessarily a biological mom or dad. Some in here are adopted, and you had the best parents in the world. Some of you are steps, but I don't call them steps. You mama and daddy.
Amen,
amen something.
Amen.
And so you've accomplished that goal. You made your parents proud. Listen, you made the church. See, when we show your pictures, when we put your pictures in the bulletin, that glorifies God.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you made us. So now we can say, that's young lady. Right? Yeah, she a member. She one of our members. The Fifth Ward Church. You make us look good, and I'll tell you what, go to jail. We won't put you in here. I'm just, you know, I'm not saying we'll pray for you. But nobody happy when you drop out. When you now listen, don't think you can't make it when you make a mistake. But what we're saying is that, see, you have a choice. You control you. You control your actions. And though you went through some trials, you went through some hardships, you went through some bucking with your parents, but you stayed, you finished, and you are blessed. And don't you like, this is a good time. I remember when I graduated from high school, you know, I was a member of this church too. You know, people congratulating. I'm like, did I do that much? You know, I graduated from high school. But you know, sometimes you don't realize what you're doing. You don't realize the effect that you're having on somebody. Another boy, another girl sees you and say, you did it, I can do it. And then people give you money. Praise the Lord. Ooh, man, I had members of the church, they sent money. I'm like, this money? Woo-wee. Yeah, now don't be expecting no. I mean, somebody might give you some money, but don't be asking for no money. Those of you that graduated from college, and see, the further we go, it seems like the harder it gets. Yeah. So you've done something, you've accomplished something that you should be proud of. You should be proud of. But listen to this passage. Listen to this passage that Jesus says this in the book of, I don't want to misplace. Listen, John chapter 6 and verse number 27. John 6:27. Do not work for the food which perishes. And that's not necessarily talking about literal food. But he says to you, he says, listen, now you've accomplished something. Don't be 100% focused on the stuff that's temporal. He says this, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. And I'll say this to you, is that you've accomplished much, and you made a mark, and you are still making a mark. But I hope you're not selfish with your mark. See, in other words, you say, oh, yeah, I'm going to be able to make, I have my doctorate degree now. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get $50,000 more in salary. Praise the Lord. I hope you do. That'd be a beautiful thing. But what you going to do with that money? I mean, what you going to do with your time? What you going to do with the prestige? What you going to do with the title? Is it all going to go on you? Is it all going to go on me, myself, and I? When I say me, myself, and I, some of us, sometimes people get success. They buy a big house, move away from everybody, and put a gate around them, and can't nobody come in. There's nothing wrong with living in a gated communion. Now, that's not what I'm saying. What are you saying, Brother Gary? I'm saying if God has given you a gift, and he's blessed you. First of all, I should say this. If you got a brain that you can figure stuff out and figure numbers out and you are real, real smart, don't think you gave it to yourself. You say, I don't understand why people don't understand algebra and trigonometry. It's easy to me. It's easy to you because God gave you a gift. And I'm not saying you don't have to study. We study, but some folk can study all day and all night. They just don't have it. And I'm one of them, maybe ask somebody. My third point, I'm not gonna get to it. My third point is don't fall in love with yourself. Amen. And what are you saying, brother? My third point was are you ready for success? Amen. Because see, some folk can't handle success. Right. And you start thinking you did it all, but you'll find out soon that it ain't all about you. My second point, I'm just mentioning it. My second point is, are you ready to fall? I didn't say, are you ready to fail? Because the only way you fail is if you quit. Yes, sir. And I do. You've already proved that you are not a quitter. Amen. But when you go through life, something going to make you want to quit. Right. But I will say this, you will be doing some falling if you keep on living. Amen. And I ask the question, are you ready to fall? But I should ask you the question, are you ready to get up when you fall? Let me finish this. Listen to this. To the saints, to the Christians, don't confuse works of the law with works of the Lord. And that's why I think a lot of the biblical religious error comes in, where people say, well, works won't save you. No, not works of the law. He speaks of the law of Moses. The law of Moses was filled with meritorious laws, things you could eat, things you couldn't eat, worshiping on these certain holy days. And some was sticklers about that, getting circumcised. These were works of the law, meritorious works. And the Old Testament children of Israel couldn't keep those laws. Those works will not save you. But you remember this, that the scripture teaches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 19. I know your deeds. He writes to seven churches. The Bible says God, Jesus talking to the Apostle John speaking through the voice of the Lord. He says, I know your deeds. God knows what we're doing. He said, and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than the first. Amen. And so God knows us. We're not fixing to be lazy. You've come too far to be lazy. And works build character. They do. They build character. Right. Works keep us out of so much trouble. Amen. Works build our value. And God knew that. He created us, the Bible says, for good works. It builds character to our young people, to our individuals. And the sad part is that it seems that many of us have lost our, I don't know if lost it or we never got the work ethic. The ability to want to get joy out of doing work. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, some of us don't know how to work anymore. And I'm not talking about physical labor, but sometimes mental labor is just as hard as physical labor. And all the time, we're looking for the shortcut. But you don't gain confidence from the shortcut all the time. You gain confidence by learning how to use your skills to work, and it builds your character. I challenged the young people at the first service. I said, young people in this service, I said, if your room is dirty right now, if your room is dirty right now, go home and take a picture of that room on your phone. Take a picture. I know you're not going to put that on social media, are you? But take a picture of the room, dirty room. And then take 2 hours. Take 3 hours. But you giving my parents some ideas. Yes, I am. Take 3 hours and clean your room up.
Amen.
And I do recognize that some kids don't know how to clean a room up. But you know what? Parents, can I say this without hurting your feelings in here? I'm going to say this without hurting your feelings. If it hurts your feelings, just close your ears real quick. If we're not teaching our kids how to work, who's going to teach them?
Right.
I know one kid told me, I'm going to get a maid. That's good. Tell you what, if you're going to get a maid, you sure better hurry up and start working. You better be working with this if you want a maid. Yeah, you're gonna earn. If you get a maid, you're gonna do some work to get a maid. But if you take a pick, and I say, because I take it for granted, because my mother instilled in us, you know, before we got out the bed, when our feet hit the floor, we made our beds up. That was a habit that she, and I'm telling you, I despise my mother for that. Because you sleepy, I'm like, this don't make no, you didn't brush your teeth first. You clean the bed, somebody say, ooh, your mama was mean, and she was, mama. And you say, Sister Smith, that's sweet. Sister Smith ain't that sweet. She was sweet to y'all, not to us. And she made us make our bed up. But you know what? I'm grown now. And I thank God that she instead. My wife will tell me right now, my wife, she say, see, you got a gift. You just got the gift of knowing how to clean up. And sometimes she said, I don't say nothing, but I be wanting to tell her, it wasn't no gift. Talking about a gift. They made her. Mama made her. She said, how you know how to do all that? Because mama and daddy, well, dad, I guess he had something to do with it. But mama made us do those things. But she taught me that, so I know how to clean up. I can clean. But okay, you don't do no cleaning. What you talking about? To this day, I clean up all the time. Matter of fact, too much in my house. And I say this, I'm not finished with you young folks. Take a picture of your dirty room. Clean it up. Then take another picture of your room. Clean it up. Now you do it. Don't get nobody else. You do it. Take another picture of your room. Put it up. You don't have to put it on social media. Look at it. Look at it before, then look at it after.
Amen.
And see what it does to your self-esteem. Nobody did this. You did it. Of course, with the help of the Lord. But we learn a value. See, work builds character. It keeps us out of trouble. It gives us value. Notice, work accomplishes God's mission. God works through earthen vessels. He not coming out of the heavens to do it for himself. Work garners favor with God. And so, yes, we will be saved by grace through faith. But church, faith without works is useless.
That's
it's useless to us, and it's useless to God.
Bible is right.
You're here today, you're not a child of God. I want to encourage our graduates, you keep achieving. Keep achieving. But give to God.
Amen.
Give your gifts.
Amen.
Give your talents. See, the person that's educated, and you know, the person that's educated has the ability, that's educated and has gifts, has the ability to do more for God. Not that you are better than anybody else.
Right.
But see, the church, the kingdom suffers because it seems like we give leftovers to God. The brightest minds are working for NASA. What if the brightest minds were working for the Lord? Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yes, yes. And that's what we need. So we're saying to you,
amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Congratulations. We love you.
That's right.
Well, you give to God. You're here today, you're not a child of God, you need to be. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God.
Amen.
If you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, be baptized in water, he adds you to his family, of which, if we stay faithful to death, he gives us a crown
Amen.
Of righteousness. If you're here and you have a prayer request, we need to pray about something, we'll pray for you. Here, you want to get something right, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song?
There's a fountain, free tears for you and me.